As we just sang, Lord, I give you my heart. Every breath that I take, Lord, I want to take it according to your plan and purpose. Can we just surrender ourselves before the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I am before your presence this morning. I want to hear from you. I want you to talk to me this morning. Can we all just pray to the Lord? Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. I'm ready to listen to what you have to tell me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Loving God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday that you've given us. This last Sunday in the month of January of 2017. Lord, we thank you for your providence, your protection. Lord, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We thank you, Father, that you are such a wonderful Father. You have provided for us and you have protected us in the midst of so many things that are going on in and around our lives. We thank you, Father, for the breath that we are taking in, for the lives that we are living, oh Father. We pray that you help us to continue to walk in your ways. This morning, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, open the word of life and feed us, Lord, with your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for Father, the tithe and the offering that your people have given, Father. I pray a special blessing upon everyone, Lord, who opened their wallets and took out and gave it to the Lord, oh Father. May they be richly blessed in all their ways, Father. We give you the glory and honor. We bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let us remain standing as we are going to the Word of God. I want you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And we are actually in a series by the name of Transformed. Transformed. God wants us to be transformed. What is our life in God's kingdom? How does God look at us? So as we are going into this, we are going to look at a couple of passages from the New Testament. And today we are going to look at transformed in my possessions. How can I be transformed in my possessions? If you remember, now I've already gone through three different messages on this series called Transformed. We started with Transformed in My Worship. We took some lessons from the prophet Isaiah's vision that he had and the transformation that happened in his life. And then we went into Transformed in My Worship as we worship God as it relates to our giving to God's kingdom, our prayer and fasting. That was the second time we looked in Transformed. And then the last week we looked at Transformed in My Prayer. How my prayer life, I can get transformed as I pray. And we went through the Lord's Prayer and we looked at three things to consider through the Lord's Prayer. Today we are going to understand about how I can be transformed with my possessions, what God has given me. How can I be transformed? So we are going to read a small excerpt from the life of Jesus. Given in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. The background of this is that this is a young, very rich guy. The Bible describes him as a ruler, a rich young ruler. He is coming to Jesus and this is an encounter that this man is having with Jesus. Mark chapter 10, we will read from verses 17 to 22 or 23. We are going to look to till verse number 23. Now, as he, that is Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "A good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to Jesus, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." So we are talking about a young guy who has gone through their synagogues and learned the Torah and done all these things. He has been a very faithful Jew who has done all these things. And he's not lying. He said, I kept all these commandments that you have told me. I don't do all this. And then we see the verse number 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus looked at this young man and he loved him. And he said, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Verse number 22 is a sad statement that we read here. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And verse number 23 says, and then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus called many people to come and follow him. And everywhere where we read this, it says that they left everything and they followed after Jesus. This is one instance when Jesus told somebody to follow him, that man went away sorrowfully, said, no, I cannot, because of the possessions, the goods that I had. Now I want you to skip your page to Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And this is the lesson that I want to give to each one of you. I want you to pay attention to God's word. This is a very, very important time. So I would request you, please look to your Bibles. If you have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. It's a part of the Sermon of the Mount that Jesus spoke about. And this is what Jesus says in connection to our possessions, our wealth, our riches. Jesus says in verse number 19, do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. And then we see verse number 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then finally, verse number 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen? May God add his blessings to his word. Please sit down. Please have your seat. Some very profound words that we have read here. We started with a real example and we followed up with the word of Jesus. This morning I want to speak about how we can be transformed in our possessions. Before I do that, I usually start with a light note so that people don't get too tense at the starting itself. So somebody sent me a note recently about with a warning. He said, I should not sleep in church. Very, very important thing. He said, I should not sleep in church, especially during crucial times. And this is what, and this was his account in his own words. And he, and this is what he wrote. I was sleeping in the church in the middle of the meeting when the usher woke me up. Immediately when I woke up, I heard the pastor saying the last three words of his announcement. Please stand up. I stood up without knowing the reason and people started clapping. Then I heard the pastor saying, thank you, Jesus. Any other person who would give us another $10,000 for our church building project? And then he writes, this was the point I fainted there. So from a sleep to a fainting mode, this man turned. Because he was sleeping at the wrong time. So I would request none of you to sleep. Maybe I make that announcement and I don't want you to stand without knowing what you're standing up for. But it gives a very interesting background about possessions. How we react when people is asking for money or possessions. Let me tell you that possessions don't last. They don't last beyond the grave. But our relationship with God is the one that will last throughout our life and for eternity. Money is not bad. No one should tell you that money is evil. I've heard people saying, money is evil, money is bad. No, 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 money is not bad. The Bible is very, very clear. The love of money is what is bad. Money itself is not bad. And we will go through that and we will understand. The many times money has been used by people to advance the kingdom of God. But the problem starts when our money and our possessions become more important than even God himself. And we concentrate on money. There is a man called Dave Ramsey who holds a financial peace university. And this is what he has said one time, that our modern American society is totally obsessed with stuff. You want to get more stuff. Bigger toys, bigger cars, bigger homes, bigger bank balance, bigger stock portfolio. You are obsessed with that, and people keep on acquiring things that someday is going to pass away. And that is a sad thing, and we need to understand that if you only concentrate your entire life in accumulating money and possessions, let me tell you one thing, you will end up as a very sad person in life, because that's all that you have that will not go beyond your grave. And that is what we need to understand. The money that we need to get, it is good, but our life should not be all about money. There's a difference there. So this money is temporary, and that is what the Word of God also tells us. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how much time and energy are we spending on things that really matter over the things that we have? And so we come to the story of this rich young ruler. You know, this was a good man. I'm telling you, he was a very fortunate man, because Jesus looked at this man. It says Jesus loved him. And he said, come, follow me. But before you follow, Jesus knew there is going to be a problem. If the man keeps his riches and his possessions, there is a very good chance that we may start following me, but then he will give me up and he will go back to his riches. He will love his money and he will return. So Jesus made a very radical statement. He has not told everybody to do that, but to this young man he said, this is what you need to do. You sell what you have. You have a lot of riches. You are a young guy. You are a ruler. You possess a lot of things, but you need to do this. Sell off everything. The money that you get, it says you give it to the poor. This is the first time I'm hearing a doctrine of Jesus says that you sell everything that you give to the poor. But Jesus knew this young man's heart, his entire concentration was on his money and on his possession. And Jesus said, you know, you cannot have that and then follow me. So Jesus said, once you sell it and give off your money to the poor, what you do is take up the cross and follow me. A radical challenge to this young man, that you give up everything that you own today and then you come and follow me. And then, you know, we see this is the ruler that I can sing. He's a rich guy. He has a lot of wealth. He has everything that he wants in his life. But the sad story about this man is we don't even know who he was. His name is never mentioned in the Bible after that. He went back. Obviously, he had a good life. He continued to have money and continued to do his own thing. But he disappeared in the pages of history. He was never used in God's kingdom. Why? Because he made a crucial decision. When Jesus called him, he said, no, I don't want you. I want my money. I'm choosing my possessions over you. And he is a rich young ruler, but it's a sad situation that we have. And so the question that is coming before us is that, what do I and this rich young ruler have in common today? Let me tell you at the very beginning that if you are paying your full time and attention to going to work, I'm not against going to work, because I work myself. I have a job. For a day job, I am working too. I'm not saying you give up your job, but I'm saying you need to give the first place in your life to God. When you give your first place to God, everything else becomes second. Because if you put the first things first, then only you know what the second things are. So God should come first in your life, no matter what. Even if it's a job, if your family, your wife, your children, your parents, they all come second. God should come first. His kingdom should come first. And doing His will should come first in your life. I want to make a challenge to you. I know that we are working. We need to work to survive. Nobody is going to give us handouts. Especially no one does it these days. No one will give us money and take care of us. Everyone has to work. But I am challenging you this day before God's word. Don't put your job first and give God the second place in your life. God is not going to allow that. That's the first commandment that God gave in Mount Sinai. You shall have no other gods before me. Before God, if we have anything else, that comes bigger than God, that becomes an idol in your life. If your idol is your TV that you are switching over and you don't have time to pray, if your idol is your wife or your hobbies or your pastime or your work or whatever you do in life without God, it becomes first and you are an idol worshipper because you are not giving God the first place. Amen. So we need to understand that it is very hard, especially when we have more money. People who have more money and more power, they don't have time for anything else. If you have stock, you're always watching out if the stocks are going up or down. Should I be changing my portfolio? All the time your mind is on money and making more money. Let me tell you, money is good, but you should not make money the utmost thing in your life. You know, in the Old Testament, riches was a sign of God's favor. We know that. Even King Solomon, God gave him so much riches and wealth. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 12 says that God gave Solomon, he was the richest man and he had power. But you know what happened? End of the day, Solomon started worshipping the gods of his wives and he fell down from grace. And he, though he wrote so much of Proverbs, though he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, but he is somebody who gave up on God. And he started worshipping idols because when things possess your life, you tend to lose the real thing that we need to understand. The problem is not money, but the problem is we start trusting in money. Our trust changes from God to the money that we have. Our trust changes from God to the job that we have. Our trust is not in God anymore, but we think that we are good. And so God wants us to understand that we have to be benevolent. You know, in with our finance, if you are benevolent, which is we are ready to give out and give up for the kingdom's sake, we will be rewarded with a true treasure in heaven. Can you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6? There is one commandment in the Bible that God gives to rich people. I want you to write it down. For those who have money, I mean, we all have money. God has a commandment that he has given. It's a command. When Paul writes to his spiritual son Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 17 to 19, I want to read this. Very, very important verse. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. The first thing that happens when you have money, you start becoming proud. You start walking with your head high. You think that you are somebody. Let me tell you, we are nobodies. All we have is a breath in our nostrils. When God, that breath finishes, we are nobody. We can do nothing. Our health is nothing. Our wealth is nothing. Whatever we have in this world is nothing. So, number one, we cannot be proud. Because the moment you become a little more money in the hand, you start becoming pride. Pride comes in your life. So, we should not be haughty. Number two, do not trust in uncertain riches. See, that is the problem. When we start have money and possessions, we start trusting in them and not in God. But it says, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So, what we should do instead? It says, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. This is what God is expecting from us. We are never supposed to be like a lake. You know, the difference between a lake and a river is that a lake, like God allowed us to go to Israel and we could visit the Dead Sea. It's a lake. The Dead Sea is a lake. The problem is that there is water coming into the lake. Nothing goes out of it. It is accumulating all what it is getting, it is coming. Nothing is going out. The problem when that happens is that it becomes dead. It is full of minerals to that much extent that you can lie and float on that water. But there is not a single living creature in that water. Because you know why? There is no use of that water to anybody. When you accumulate, that is not how the kingdom of God works. If God is going to bless you with anything, God blesses you with wealth, God blesses you with talent, what you should do is, you should let it flow out from you. God will start using you as a channel of his blessing. You are never supposed to be a reservoir. You are supposed to be a channel of God's blessing. And that is why in Psalms 23 says, my cup runs over. When God starts pouring out his blessing, your cup should run over, that it will touch other people's life. And that is what God requires us to do. So let's come back to Matthew chapter 6. And this is where I want to give you three right attitudes. I want to give you three right attitudes with respect to our riches. If you note it down, it's very profound. I loved it. Three right attitudes that we should have with respect to our riches. Matthew chapter 6. The first one is that we should have a right perspective with regard to our riches. Have a right perspective. Matthew chapter 6 verses 19 to 21, Jesus speaks about wealth. In fact, Jesus warns us about accumulating treasures on this earth. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Why? Why? Saving money is not wrong. I will tell you that. But there is a problem that happens when you start accumulating. You know, let me give you an example in the Old Testament. Joseph led the Egyptians to store up the food in preparation for the famine. We always need to have a healthy account where there should be money in the time of a problem. We need to have a bank balance that will support us during time of trouble. Joseph is a good example. He told the Egyptians, you bring and store because a famine is coming and you need to store up the money there. We also know in Proverbs chapter 6 where we are told to be like ants who are saving for the times of difficulty. So we are told to look at the ants. They are storing up the food in the summer so that when the rain comes, they don't have to go outside. There is food already. So saving money is not always wrong. But the problem happens when we accumulate wealth for the sake of accumulating wealth. You know what's the problem there? The wealth that we accumulate, it says that they can be destroyed by moth and rust. Why moth and rust? Because in those days, the wealth that people had was in fancy clothing. The men used to wear gold apparel. The women used to be decked with golden lined dresses, and they used to accumulate wealth. And Jesus says, you accumulate all that wealth. Remember that things are going to be destroyed by moths and rust. Even rust speaks about things of iron and things that can get, you know, totally without any value if it is kept in a place. And say, don't put your whole energy accumulating things that will be destroyed on this earth. But rather what you should do, he says here. So, one, he warns us against accumulating the treasures on this earth. The second thing is, he says instead we should lay up treasures in heaven. How do I do that? What does it mean to lay up treasures in heaven? Yesterday, as Abby was telling, we had a privilege of going to a funeral service of a young woman, 46 year old. She is like a very similar family to ours. But one thing I was noticing throughout the funeral service, not a single person spoke about the saris that she was wearing, the beauty of the saris. Nobody spoke about. Even in the coffin, she was decked up with a beautiful sari. No one even looked at that sari at all. No one spoke about the cars that she was driving every day. No one spoke about her job. She was in a very good position in a hospital. She was the manager of an outpatient infusion clinic in a hospital. She had a very good privileged position. No one spoke about how well educated she is and how much of a position that she has. Not a single person spoke about all that. They didn't even mention about the house that she lived. They never mentioned about anything of this earth. But what people spoke about was how she impacted people's lives with a word of comfort here, with a touch there. Her children spoke about how she taught them the word of God, how she taught them to stand up for God. The colleagues at work, they stood up and said, you know what, she would give us directions to work during our shift hours, but then she would also give us verses from the Bible, and she would challenge us and she would speak the gospel. And she would speak the gospel even as she was directing her workforce to do different things. And that was all that they had to speak about. They spoke about her joy when people came to see her. And if somebody is sick, she would say, don't worry, Jesus will heal you. She had words of faith and she had words of comfort, even though she was suffering from cancer. She had stomach cancer that spread all over her body. But never she would keep a grim face. She was smiling till the very end. And that was a word that we had. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, our life is temporary. When people die and we look at their coffin, that is where we are also headed to. We will be 6 feet under And nobody will even remember us even a few years after we are gone. But one thing I'm telling you today, that if you start living up for God and doing the things that will last beyond your life, that is what matters. That is why it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth will not corrupt, where things will not fade. Whatever we do for God's kingdom, that will last our lifetime, and that will last to eternity. And one day we will get the true treasures that God has promised for us. I want to challenge the church today. I know we are in a country where people is all about material things and goods and things. But let me tell you, seek God's kingdom first. And all this righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Amen. So how can we accumulate up treasures in the first, obedient to God. Be an example to others. Start within your home. Be an example to your husband. Be an example to your children. In the words that you speak. You know what? Your life is temporary. Before you know it, death will come knocking at your door. And at that time, there will be no time to regret and say, I wish I had done this. There is no wishing back. Every moment that is passing from our life, it's gone forever. We can never bring back the days we have wasted without God. Let us be obedient to God. The time that you spend with your family, bringing them in the nurture and the fear of the Lord. Especially to husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, be an example. Nurture them and train up your children in godly ways. The third is winning people to Jesus. Be a testimony to other people. Speak about what God has done for you. This is what is required in your life. Number four is be holy in your character. Be holy in your conduct. Do things that are right before God. Do the things that are pertaining to God's kingdom and not of the things of this world. And then be engaged in the mission that God has given us. This morning in our Sunday school, we spoke about that we are being sent by God to do a mission. We are on a mission work. We are all missionaries today. God has given us a mission. Be a witness. Make disciples. Preach the gospel. Stand as an example. Let Jesus radiate and shine through your life. Today I want to challenge you all. Our life is not all about our work and our family and our job and our cars and our homes. It's more with His kingdom. And let us know what is truly important in our life. Have the right perspective. Because when we do things for God, that will last beyond our life. So have the right perspective. The second thing is, not only have the right perspective, have the right perception also. Matthew chapter 6 verse 22 and 23. Jesus speaks about the eye. You know, it says that our eyes give us guidance. And he says that the light of the body is the eye. So what it means is, if your eye is good, Jesus says, the word for good translated is aplos, which means clear, healthy, sound. If our eyes are bad, which means poneros in the Greek, meaning sick or in poor condition. So what happens is our eyesight, our perception, the way we perceive things. Some people always think the whole world is against me. All the time you think negatively. Oh, I cannot do this. I cannot do that. Oh, I am suffering. I have a problem. That is a perception. That is a problem with the eye. Your eye is the light of the body. If your eyes are good, you will see things from God's vision. You will see the way God is looking at things. And that is what we need in our life. But if you are blind to the things of God, no one can open because your eyes are blind to the things of God. So let me ask you this. What does it has to do with wealth? You know, when our eyes are looking good, when we have clear eyes, we can look properly from God's vision. It affects everything else. Number one, our attitude towards our wealth. It affects our willingness to help somebody in need. It affects our involvement in the work of God. It affects our relationship, particularly with our family, with our husband and with our wife and with our children. If you do not have a good relationship with your wife or your husband or your children, there is something wrong with the way we are looking at things. Because we need to have that. Because are we consumed with material things? Do we always, are we proud about how much we are earning today? Let me tell you that money will disappear. There is nothing that you have to, all we have been able to earn is because God is giving us the strength in our body. When we wake up in the morning and lift up our head from our pillow, it is God's strength that is carrying you forward to be able to make you go to your workplace and do your work and earn money. It is God who gives you the ability to get wealth. How many of you can agree with me? Let us never think it is by my power that I've got it. You have no power at all. And God is watching over what we do. You know, God owns everything. And God has given us a little bit to praise you. Hallelujah. I really feel an anointing of the Holy Spirit today. I believe that this word is touching some people today. Maybe you're upset at me and I speak very boldly. I hear from the Lord and I speak out the word. If it is upsetting you, I'm happy about it. You know why? Because it has hit the target. Because God wants you to know that your job means nothing. Your stock portfolio means nothing. The wealth that you have is nothing. Anything that you have without God, it means absolutely zero. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God owns everything, including the money that we have. So the first was, as we went through, the right perspective. Second was the right perception. And I'll finish up with the final one. The final one is our right priorities in life. Look to verse number 24. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. What does the master in this verse mean? The Greek word means a slave owner who needs your complete and total allegiance. Mammon in the original language is called mammonus, which means your wealth or property. So you have to decide, who has your first loyalty? Is it to your God who has brought you this far? Or is it to your wealth that you are running after? You cannot serve both of them. You cannot have wealth on one side and God on the other. You cannot serve two masters. You have to give up one and forsake the other. Chris Paul has said a statement like this: money is a good servant, but a poor master. When you keep God first, your wealth, your possessions, they lose their importance. In a song that came to my heart as I was preparing it, it says, the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The things that we see so big, they are dim when we see the light of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you that God wants you to be loyal to Him. He expects the first place in your life. He has given up everything to bring you into His fold. In fact, Jesus gave up everything that He had. His body was broken. His blood, the last drop of blood Jesus gave for you, because He loves you so much. He wants the same from you. It's a two-way street. If He has done that much, He wants you to be loyal to Him, to give Him the first place. There is a statement by Vance Havner, and I'm going to close here. It says, Jesus demands more complete allegiance than any dictator who has ever lived. The difference is, He has a right to it. Jesus has a right to it. You know, we need to seek God and His kingdom first. Jesus owns everything. Our possessions, our money, our health. And let me also read out to you something that I think many of you know this already, but I'll tell you. And this is an image. So no man can serve two masters. You must decide who is your first loyalty. This is an image that I came across of a chest that is full of, you see here, trophies and some necklaces, maybe it's pearls. But where is it lying? It's in a desert place. This is what our wealth is in our life. This is what I read somewhere, and I think you have also know. Money can buy you a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy you a clock, but not time. Money can buy you a book, but not knowledge. Money can buy you a position, but not respect. Money can buy you medicine, but not health. Money can buy you blood, but not life. And money can buy you sex, but not love. You know, money can do some things. I'm not discounting the power of money. but it cannot give what you need in your life. So this morning, as we are about to go from here, I want us all to stand up on our feet, and we are going to sing a song right now. Can you all just stand up on our feet? I want you to close your eyes right now. I want God to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Let our minds be renewed. Can we just close our eyes and bow our heads and say, Lord, change me, renew me, Father Lord. Lord, I want to turn my eyes upon you, because you are having the first place in my life. I want us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Can we just close our eyes, every one of us, including the children? Can you all just close your eyes and can you just pray to the Lord? Lord, many times I have neglected you. I have not even thought about you. Days together, I have been so involved in the things of this world. But Lord, this afternoon, I turn my eyes to you, Lord. I turn my eyes to you. I turn my eyes to you, Lord. Let everything else turn away and become small, because you mean more to me, Lord, than anything else in this world. Can you pray that prayer? This morning I challenge you. Pray that prayer. The Lord wants you to commit your life. Do not be like that rich young ruler who turned away from Jesus because he had great possessions. Let not your wealth, your power, your possessions come in the way. As you live your life on this earth, let Jesus become number one in your life more than anything else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we all just lift up our hands and just bless the Lord? And can we just surrender ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, you mean more to me, Lord, than anything that I have in my life. Lord, you have done so much for me. You have saved me, Lord, from the pit, and you have saved me from darkness. You have put me in a rock and you have established my goings, and you have given me a song and you have given me a family. You have given me a name and you have given me a hope, Lord. You have given me a future, and more than that, you have given me eternal life, Father. You have given me more than I deserve. I give my all to you. I give everything to you. Can we turn our eyes and worship him?